And now, get ready, folks. It's time for Banter with Bob Sherwood and Dan Snell. Banter. And now, here's Bob and Dan. And there we have it. There we have it. We're here live with Banter.
Hey, listen, guys, it was a great day today for the Trump people. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I felt sorry for Biden. He had to sit through it. But after all, Trump was all about business, which I applaud him for it. He didn't hold up anything. He basically said, look, you elected me to do these things. This is what I'm doing. If it offends Biden, which it probably did, and I don't blame you. I'd be embarrassed if I was Biden. But Trump was saying, look, you elected me. I'm going ahead and doing this stuff, exactly what I told you I was going to do.
I thought the end of his speech was presidential and legacy to where we're going to do things in the big picture. The beginning, here's what my sense is. They wrote the speech, probably a 20-minute speech, 25 minutes. He took it to about 35 minutes, but then he added some of his stuff in the beginning. That's almost like a campaign speech. I think if he would have left that out, it would have been a very good speech. But when you're the president giving an inauguration speech, I don't think you add things in there like FEMA and its failure in North Carolina.
He was telling the truth. He was telling what he was elected on.
Okay.
And he was saying to the American people, I'm not going to hide behind some other comment or some other way to say it. I didn't like it yesterday before I was president, the way they treated North Carolina. I don't like it today.
But Bob, you don't.
If it does like it,
go to the time. There's a time and a place. There's a time and a place for saying that.
And he picked the exact
inaugural address. The inaugural address to the world is not the time and place.
You may be an expert on the inaugural address. I'm not. I'm not an expert on inaugural address, but I am an expert on one thing, and that is that if you promise something, I want to hear you say you're going to deliver it now that you're president. And that's what he said. He didn't mince words. He said, look, I'm signing 200 executive orders today. They're going to cover this. They're going to cover that. From now forward, we have men and we have women. Now, that probably pissed off a million people. But he's recognizing, hey, I wasn't elected by the million people that object. I was elected by the 85 million people that wanted me to take this position. Yeah. So I'm not creating this position in my mind. This is the position that American people elected me on, and that's what we're going to do. And by God, the military is going down to the border.
That's good.
And right down the line. So now he's over there signing executive orders. Now I saw it later, but that's the coolest thing that I could ever imagine a leader doing, is saying, you elected me at 12 o'clock. It's now 5:30 in the afternoon. And we're going full speed ahead, and maybe we'll even get to Mars.
Yeah. And what you and Donald Trump have some similar qualities in that you are both strong go-getters. Yeah, and you are both transactional. I come more from.
Well,
he should be thinking about his legacy.
What is transactional?
Well, you want him to sign the document. No, transactional. Come on, you know what a transactional person is. You want him to sign the document. What I mean is you want him to say, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And I want a president that a kindergartner can watch and say, well, Trump said America is a place where.
And by the way, your kindergartner shouldn't be watching the inauguration.
Sure, they should. Right?
They should be in bed.
Sure, they should.
Good night's sleep.
At 12 o'clock noon?
Yeah, they should be in bed. But the point is this. In my mind, it's not a matter of being transactional. I don't even know if that's good or bad to be transactional. But I know this. I voted for Trump basically on what he said he would do. And I'm glad that 12:02, when he's president 12:02 today, Eastern Daylight Time, he said, I'm starting to do it. He didn't say, I'm going to wait a week to do it, or I'm going to wait 2 weeks to do it, or I'll do it when I get up in the morning and I have a cigar and a glass of cognac tonight. No, I said, I'm doing it now. I'm starting now. Why? It's just unbelievable. I was totally inspired. I am totally motivated now.
I think he did a great job at the end of his speech, and it was positive, and I saw some moments that were encouraging and inspiring at the beginning of the speech. It's not necessary when you're surrounded by the man you're replacing that you take shots and you put him down. You don't need to do it. You don't need to say how bad.
Let me finish,
banter man. The campaign's over.
Right?
He won.
So he's going to do the things.
Because you like to banter.
No, because I don't agree with your predicate. And if I don't agree with your predicate, I'm not going to agree with your conclusions. So why should I wait?
I don't agree with yours. That's why we call it banter.
I don't tell you to agree with mine, and I don't object if you interrupt me. If you interrupt because you don't like my predicate, then just say you don't like my predicate, and I'd say fine.
Yeah.
In my case, I think it's a great compliment for anybody to tell me I have some of the same qualities of Trump. I hope I do, because he does things. You may not like what he does. You may not like what he says. You may not like any of that stuff. But he wasn't elected on that. He wasn't elected on his personality. That's for damn sure. He was elected because he said, here's the things we need to do. Common sense things, right? Common sense things. We have men and we have women. That's the way it's going to be in the federal government, because I can make that decision. He says, I'm going to send the military to the border, because that's common sense. We have a problem down there.
Okay. But
common sense tells me we didn't take care of North Carolina.
He wants the best of both worlds. He met with Biden and they had tea. They rode over together. And Donald Trump says, he didn't use the word tradition, but he said it's a great thing that's always done. Right? He said it was a good talk. It was a good time together. And it was a good, I can't remember the word he used, but it was like tradition. It's like it's always done, which is ironic.
He was probably about to vomit when he said it, but go ahead.
It was ironic. No, okay. If he didn't mean it, why would he say it?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, yeah. The ironic thing is that 4 years ago, he bolted. He didn't do the traditional thing and give the same respect to the transfer of power, which was a mistake. But let's get back to the inaugural address.
Right.
The inaugural address, what I'm saying is, it's one like John F. Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. You know, John F. Kennedy says, the torch has been passed to a new generation. People remember that. People are not going to remember Donald Trump saying, well, North Carolina got screwed because of Biden's FEMA policies.
Here's the difference about Trump. He doesn't care what people believe.
He should care.
He's
the president. You've got to care when you're the president.
He wants to be known by what he gets done.
Yeah, well, did we have an infrastructure bill that he promised four times?
I don't know that. And I'm not care about anything in the past. It's over.
Wait a minute. Time out. You just said you don't care about the past, yet you think it's okay for him to bash the last 4 years of the past.
You misunderstood what he said. He was telling what he thought was the truth. What he believed, right?
He's
also saying he never said anything different in the inauguration speech that he didn't say last week or the week before. And I applaud him for that. He didn't adjust himself for the situation. He said, look, you elected me to do these things. I'm going to go do them. It may irritate a lot of people. They may get annoyed, but you elected me. That's what I'm going to do.
But he's already told him that. He's already elected. He doesn't need to tell him that because he just needs to do it. He said today, did you watch his second speech in the basement?
No.
After he gave his inaugural address, went out, said goodbye to the Bidens on the helicopter. Then they went downstairs.
Yeah.
And there were the people that didn't have, they were the B-list that didn't make it into the rotunda. And if you watch that, I mean, it was, I'll tell you the thing that concerned me is how long he went, and he just rambled on about you name it. He just rambled like a campaign speech to the people in the basement, which included
This is what I love about him. He realizes that you have to keep selling. I had a guy on my board of directors for 7 years. The guy's a very successful venture capitalist. And every time I met him, he said, Bob, you have to keep selling. Even after you get the order, you have to keep selling.
He and wasn't selling. He was listing grievances about the 2020 election, and he was listing all kinds of grievances.
Exactly.
Why sell that? Hey, you won.
He's not asking you to buy it.
Well,
he's
if you're
saying,
president,
this is what I, he's saying,
act
this is
like
what I
an effing
this is
president.
Why I like him. He doesn't mince words. He's, you know,
he acts like
can.
A thug. He doesn't
he
act like a president.
Well, okay, you can call him a thug if you want. I don't call the president of the United States a thug. I think he's a great leader.
Today he acted
things.
Like one.
He's going to go things. Well, I don't know how thug asks. I don't know what. I've never met a thug, so I don't know how they act. You may know a lot more thugs than I do. I don't know any thugs, so I can't tell you what a thug looks like.
Well, people that watch, which, by the way, folks, like, follow, subscribe to this. You will have heard me say, I have high hopes. You coined the phrase hope, and I thought I had high hopes. I was very disappointed in the first,
well, you know, here's what
first
I like
20
about
minutes
you,
of his 35
you know
minutes.
I like about you the best?
What?
I like about you the most is that you will sit here and not acknowledge Trump's leadership, but you'll take the benefits of it. In 2 years, when things are going real good, you'll say, great, he's done it. I'm thankful. But you don't help him do it along the way. You destructively, what I call, criticize him because he wasn't a statesman. He was picking on Biden. Well, somebody should pick on him. They've been lying to us for a year. The guy has no business being president for the last year. We all know that. Even the Democrats admit that now. The guy has cognitive problems.
Well, if you would have watched the Donald Trump in the basement of the Capitol to the second address he gave, you would have been concerned.
I know Trump, he's going to do what he does, which means he's going to keep selling. He's going to keep criticizing. I don't care about any of that because, fine, I elected him. Myself and another.
Who does Donald Trump serve?
Pardon me?
Who does Donald Trump serve?
All of America. That's who he's
all
hired.
Of America.
Right.
He got 49.6% of the vote.
That doesn't mean he can make everybody happy. And that's what he knows as a leader. You cannot make everybody happy.
He says it was landslide mandate, overwhelming victory. Obama won by bigger. Reagan won by bigger. There's a lot of bigger victories. He won by 1 point.
So I'll go with you. Okay, it wasn't a landslide. So what? What has this got to do?
So the point is, he is speaking today, at least in the first two-thirds of his speech, he's speaking to his followers.
You don't get
his voters.
You do not get that you get a leader to get things done. That's what he does. He gets things done.
Tell me what he got done in his first term.
Who?
Trump. What did he get done in his
first term? I don't remember. I don't care. It's not important. What's important now is the future, what he's going to get done now. That's what's important.
The best thing he can do to get a fast start, if I'm Donald Trump, and I think you can do that with Tom Holman and Kristi Noem, is the existing, we'll call them bad guys, the bad guys in jails, prisons, and incarcerated now that have records of hurting people or robbery or whatever that are able to be deported. If he deports them, and let's say he gets 25,000 out in the first 90 days, that's a win. If he gets, I don't even know what that means.
How many other presidents at 1205 or 1215 is already executing on what he promised?
Well, Donald Trump didn't do that till after he signed the documents in front.
He was elected at 1202, and by 1230 or 1245, he's busy signing documents. That's my point. How many other presidents have done that?
He didn't get to the paperwork until about 2 o'clock.
Oh, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. See what I mean is, the point is...
You made the point that it was 1230.
He's focused on doing it. He's not focused on talking about it. That's what the Democrats do. They talk and they talk and they talk, but they don't do anything.
They do.
He's doing something.
They do talk a lot. They do. Democrats do talk a lot.
You know, you may not like what he does. You may not like how he says what he does. But he's the only guy that I know that as a leader, he says, I'm going to do this. And he does it.
But he says the whole Panama thing,
that was the most courageous thing I've ever heard anybody say. We built Panama. We had 38,000 people die building it. We should own it. And we're going to own it. That's what he said. And I thought, well, God, that's great. Because that's right. That's common sense. More power to him, right? Now, how he's going to do it, I don't know. But I bet he has a lot of levers he can pull to basically control Panama without actually owning it, right?
Well, he had an opportunity today, and he said, similar to what he said before the Republican National Convention, that he is a changed man by God, right? Because of his assassination attempt, and he didn't die, and that he's to make America great again. He said that his speech, he tore up his old speech at the National Convention, said it's going to be about unity and American togetherness and pride and economy. Yeah. He went 21 minutes, and then he flipped for the next 72 minutes and went back to his standard campaign rhetoric.
I can't disagree with your characterization of his speech. It's a characterization that, for the most part, sounds to make sense to me. You can characterize it that way. You can characterize it any number of different ways. I listened to Brett Hume said, look, I bet that Biden and Kamala Harris were just like, you know, controlling themselves. They wanted to stand up and holler. But you can characterize it any way you want. But to me, how you characterize it is not relevant. What's relevant is a guy who immediately starts
transactional. You want him to just do transaction, move on.
That's what leaders do. They do
things. No, that's not what leaders do. Leaders are about inspiring people. Leaders are not about transactions. That's part of it. But 80% of leadership is not transactions. Leaders help people rise up to be better than they have ever thought they could be. I am 100% positive that leaders help people rise up and inspire people.
Nobody's arguing that, Dan. Nobody's
just said I need to read another book. I'm bantering with you. You just said I need
because your original predicate was that leaders don't do anything. All I said was leaders do things. And then you started off on that something other point. Leaders accomplish things. That's why they become leaders.
Well, of course they do. But along the way, especially when you're the president, when you're the president of the United States, okay, you're the president of the United States, you have other important factors that you need to consider.
So your instructions to Trump would be, Mr. Trump, please don't do anything.
No, not at all.
What would you tell Trump to do?
Well, the final part of his speech, which I'm sure that his speechwriter said, let's focus on this, said, hey, in America, you can rise up to anything.
I'm going to try to answer it.
Let me ask you a serious question. He took the oath of office and didn't put his hand in the Bible. How do you feel about that?
Don't bother. Don't care. If they couldn't get the Bible up there or somebody couldn't do it or they made a mistake, who cares? You know,
his wife had the Bible
when you go to court, by the way, when you go to court and you swear to tell the oath, you know what? You don't have your hand on the Bible. You just have your hand in the air. That's all you have.
Well,
I answered your question, which has nothing to do with being a leader. That had to do with who planned
Wait a minute. Did he say in his speech? In the speech you're talking about that was so great, did he say that tried to say that the Democrats attempted to assassinate him, that they, whoever they is, attempted to assassinate me, but God saved me. I believe God saved me so that I could make America great again. Did he say that?
It's got to do with the Bible.
No, okay. What is it? I mean, you don't see how it is. If you're saying that in your speech, why wouldn't you place your point?
Dan, you need to really do some homework.
It's about leadership.
You're about leadership.
It's about leadership. It's about leadership.
I don't know. Have you ever been around a real leader? Somebody who actually gets things done and pisses people off while they're doing it?
I have been around those leaders too.
Tell me the best leader you've ever been
around. The leaders that the leaders perhaps that you admire and the leaders that I admire are different style of leadership.
Tell me a leader you've been around that you admire.
Oh, there's lots of leaders.
Well, tell me one.
The leadership
you've been around that you admire because he didn't do anything.
The leadership at Kronos, a corporation that I worked for and won President's Club after President's Club. They raised people up to inspire and do more than they ever thought they could do.
No problem.
Ronald Reagan. I was around Ronald Reagan when I was a young man.
Did you know him? I never knew Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I had Wendy's Burgers with him in Grand Island, Nebraska.
Okay, all right. So you don't think leaders have to do anything, is that right?
No, I'm not saying that at all. You're trying to twist things.
What you're doing is a Donald Trump style of
trying to belittle my thoughts and that your thoughts are only right. Leaders get things done, and they also inspire people along the way, not only by the things they're getting done.
Those are all nice things, Dan. I think they're all nice things, what you're saying. And I agree that it'd be nice if we could have a leader who was inspirational and knew the right words to say and smelled people's hair and did really good things. And I'm all in favor of that, right? No problem. Everybody would like a leader like that. But to me, the measure of a leader is not what he says or how he says it. It's does he actually accomplish what he promised he would do? Now, we don't know yet if Trump will do that. We don't. None of us know because we don't know the future. Maybe you do. Maybe some Democrats do, like Adam Schiff. But I don't know the future. All I know is this. I like the fact that my leader, Trump, at least started out by saying, I'm going to fulfill my promises. And that's what he said. And I loved him for that. And I was motivated by it.
He said that in his first term. And unfortunately for him, he lost when he ran again based on his words and his behavior and how the American people
got fed up. Okay.
But he still believes.
I agree. Now he's president. Let me ask you a question. You're a Democrat, right?
No. I'm a registered Republican since I was 18 years old.
And you vote Democrat, right?
I vote for the person who has the best vision and can articulate it. Did I vote for Trump? Yeah, I heard a great quote today that said that's why they have voting booths and curtains.
Yeah. Did you vote for Trump?
That's why they have voting booths and curtains.
Okay. So let me respond to that question. I voted for Trump. I'm proud that I voted for Trump. I don't consider it a bad thing. I don't consider it a negative. I don't consider it a secret that I'm in favor of Trump. People that I'm always amazed at people. Well, I can't tell you who I voted for. Wait a minute. Who do you support? Isn't there a sign your yard?
That's why we have voting booths with curtains.
Oh, crap.
Every time I've ever been asked that question, except for Ronald Reagan.
You're embarrassed about it.
I'm not embarrassed. Let me tell you a quote from today's Martin Luther King Day, right? And Donald Trump had a chance to really honor Dr. King today. And all he said was, I'm going to make black people and Mexican people, Hispanic people rich. And that's good if you can help that.
You don't like Trump, do you?
I didn't like the words he used today. He's my president.
Do you like Trump?
I don't like his style of leadership.
Do you like Trump?
I don't like his style of leadership as president.
Okay, so in other words, you don't
like him. I don't know Donald Trump. He might be different. If he and I met and sat down, he might be different.
Do you like Trump's policies?
I like Donald Trump's policies.
All right, good. Well, then we have a common ground. We have a common ground because it means to me that we do have some common sense between us. And his policies are those of common sense. It's about time we stop giving away America to other countries for free. And that's at the highest level. That's what he talks about. You know, we're giving them away for free. We give our technology away. We give our intellectual property away. We give our dollars away. We let Chinese companies, I have nothing against China. We let Chinese companies come over to our NASDAQ, raise $1 billion, take the money back to China and build a Chinese company. We've got a dozen of them on the NASDAQ. We can't do that in China. We can't take an American company over to Hong Kong Exchange, raise money. We let the Chinese do that. I mean, I can name company after company that I've invested in that have raised money. On the NASDAQ and don't do it in the United States. Go ahead.
China has the ownership of TikTok, correct? Trump
no,
wants the
correct.
United
No, that's not correct. They don't have ownership of TikTok. ByteDance owns TikTok.
Which is controlled by the Chinese government.
Well, that's debatable. No, we do know that ByteDance has said they're not controlled by China, that China has no access to their data. Now, we believe they might have access. That's the predicate for the argument.
But Donald Trump wants the United States government, who is financially struggling, he wants us to own 50% of TikTok.
What do you think about that? Idea I have ever heard about. It's
so why don't they own 50% of everything? Then all of a sudden we'll be a socialist nation.
No,
communist because the government will own everything.
You hear what you're saying?
We have no business owning 50% of TikTok.
If he could pull that off, that the United States government would own 50% of ByteDance when they went public, we would probably make $500 billion. The forecast is when they go public, they'll go public at $1 trillion valuation. That's what he said. This is like free money. We can get $500 billion to the Treasury. No,
We are the United States of America. We're not an investment corporation. We're not an investment banker.
You're about as wrong as you could be. We invest every day. Obama invested in Solana, $500 million in California, went bankrupt, right? We invest every day. We call it the Armed Service Agreement. We call it the SBA. We invest billions of dollars in health.
Sure, and that's a different world. That's an upfront, outfront. So why don't we say then, okay, we will use the SBA to fund somebody to buy that. That's different than saying the government.
You've got the NIH. You know what the NIST is? NIST?
I've heard those letters. No, you tell me what it is.
National Institute of Standards. Now, what the point is, they are an investment arm of the federal government. They invest billions of dollars around the country. So I want to get into this because obviously you need to do a little homework because the United States government is an investor.
Well, of course, I know that through SBA, but they try to. There's a difference between economic development, and just going out and buying a company.
What's wrong with the U.S. owning half of ByteDance or TikTok?
I think it just sets a bad precedent for the future.
What's wrong with it? But what's wrong with it? Is it against the law?
We've got other things we should focus on rather than buying.
It's against the law.
The challenge, the bipartisan Republicans, and there are Republican senators that do not believe that TikTok is safe from a national security. Whether they are or not, I don't have the facts on that.
Is it against the law for America to own 50% of TikTok?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think we've ever done
that. I don't either. That's the beauty of what Trump is doing, right? He comes up with really good ideas. He doesn't know yet how to implement that idea. Maybe you'll own 50%, maybe we won't. But he's not afraid to come up with a really good idea. Like, for example,
we've known each other 18 years.
Or, for example, we put up all this money for Panama. We should own that Panama Canal. He says things that make common sense. And Greenland, I mean, if you look at the geography, you wonder, how in the world did we not go after Greenland in the last 20 years? It sits between us and Russia.
With the Marshall Plan, we rebuilt a lot of Europe. Why don't we say we should own Europe? Because we rebuilt Europe.
That's a whole different situation. But But the point is, Greenland,
why is it different? If we rebuilt Europe with the Marshall Plan, we rebuilt Japan,
I have no idea what you're talking about. The concept of owning Greenland versus owning Europe are totally different.
I'm talking about Panama. You say we built the Panama Canal. Exactly. And so we also, with the Marshall Plan, we rebuilt Europe. We invested in Japan to bring it back.
Well, Maybe we should own them too. But I'm not stopping. I'm just saying, if we focused on something as opposed to talking hypothetical nonsense, right? Panama Canal is important for national security, because that's what takes, I guess, weeks off of oil, moving oil from one country, one ocean to the next, right?
So I agree, it's very important. Yeah.
That thing saying, hey, look, let's take it back. I don't know what he actually means. But what he really says is, look, we need to take control of it because it's important for national security. Whether we own it, whether we run it, whether you operate it, whether we invest in it, those are all options on the table. See, he's a thinker. And he's got guys who are going to work out those details. He's the most incredible guy we've had. I can't think of another guy we've had even close, you know, Johnson, not Kennedy, not Truman, not Eisenhower, not Nixon, not Bush, none of them.
Let's circle even though you know, and our listeners know, I live on ADD Avenue, right? ADHD Avenue, and I bounce around. Sometimes I get back, as Donald Trump would say, it's the weave. Right. It's the weave. You talk about different things and you get back on track. So I'm doing the weave here. Martin Luther King today, we honor him. I wish Donald Trump would have honored or quoted Dr. King or talked more about, other than I'm just going to make money for black people and Hispanic people. But here's something that troubles me.
By the way, it's horrible to say, oh, I'm going to make money for the black people. That's horrible. My God, if I'm a black person, I'm saying, well, I object to that.
Well, it all depends how, if you've ever experienced what you would rather hear, honoring Dr. King, versus you know, business. But Dr. King said that one of my famous
Dr. King, he was on Facebook, unbelievably articulate spokesman, and the minister that got on was very much quoting from Martin Luther King.
Dr. King said the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of convenience and comfort, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. One of the things, and talking about why I struggle sometimes with Donald Trump, he's still my president. And I still believe that there's hope his policies will be successful. But when he is challenged with something that he lost something, or he's put on the spot, he reverts to where he stands when in times of controversy and challenge is he handles things by calling people's liar, fake news. He stood on Air Force One and said, I don't know anything about payment to Stormy Daniels. I don't even know the person.
I'm not even going to go into that.
Well, what I'm trying to say is he has strengths, his policies and his ideas and his creativity are his strengths. Yeah. But do you not recognize that sometimes his behavior and his words don't help him stay the leader of the free world the way that I'd like him to be as a president and a lot of people?
What I really like about debating people and talking to you and bantering is how you will come up with a truism and ask me if I agree with it. Of course I agree with it, right? It's a truism. We all love each other. We all want to do better, right? But some people just lose focus. And the focus is on the fact that we have a president that within a few hours after starting being elected president or taking the oath of office is actually starting to do the work. I applaud that. Tomorrow, and I can just tell you, it motivates me. It makes me want to get up in the morning and do something really positive in terms of my life and jobs and products.
Bob, it's not unusual. The last five or six presidents have said on day one, that's the new campaign rhetoric for all people running for, on day one, I will do this. So Trump's not doing anything special. He's just doing what all right presidents.
So how many Biden presidents did, have signed 200 executive orders on the first day?
Well, he hasn't signed 200. He hasn't signed 200 yet. I saw him sign about 12.
50. How many? Well, 12, 50. He says he's going to sign 200. All I'm saying is how many presidents? I don't remember Obama signing any executive orders.
Oh, yeah. He signed a lot of executive orders, canceling a bunch of Trump stuff in there.
Yeah,
we could ask our friend Google. Hey, Google, how many executive orders did President Biden sign in his first week?
Well, you said something different. Now you ask what first week.
Okay.
We're not talking about a week. We're talking about a day. I love.
Well, this is an interesting number that's surprising. President Biden's, as of yesterday, has only signed 162 total executive orders, if that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
Google, stop.
He signed at least that many people, freeing his son, his family, and what's his name, the COVID guy. He signed so many executive orders, freeing those people. Preemptive pardons. I never even heard of that before. I think you might be in trouble. So what I'm going to do is give you preemptive pardon. No, I'm sorry, Dan. I may
You've
have missed, you know, 25 hours
lifetime
of
it's
American
place.
History, but I've never heard of a preemptive pardon.
Well, where were you in 1975, 74, 74?
I don't know where I was. Who made a preemptive pardon?
I was a senior in high school. I was a senior in high school.
Who signed a preemptive pardon then?
When a football player from Michigan, who was the vice president, became suddenly, after upon the resignation of Richard Milhouse Nixon.
And ask it again. Who signed a preemptive
pardon? Gerald Ford signed a preemptive.
Preemptive pardon. Who did he preemptive pardon?
Richard Nixon.
Okay. All right. That was a preemptive pardon, right?
Yes.
You know what preemptive means, right? For sure you do, right?
It
means to pardon you before you've been accused of anything.
No, it's before you're charged or have a trial.
Now we're going to battle words. Accused, charged, you know, whatever. That's what preemptive means. Nixon was not preemptive pardon. He was already in trouble.
You're more of a legal expert than I am in this
legal expert.
But it is without a doubt, before anything happened to Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, up front and out front, whatever you want to call it, preemptive, whatever, he said any future charges of crimes and misdemeanors, anything, he is going to be absolved.
I'm going to check this for our readers, but just to be clear, a preemptive pardon means that you've not been accused of anything, you've not been adjudicated, and you pardon this person, right? So I'm going to check that because you may be right that Nixon was preemptively pardoned, right?
And you will come on immediately our next banter and say, Dan, here's what I found, and you were correct.
I will find, because I think that's the most interesting thing about what Biden has done, is whether or not there is such a thing as a preemptive pardon. It's like, for example, if tomorrow Hunter Biden kills somebody, he's pardoned.
Well, I don't think that's the case.
That's what a preemptive pardon is, right?
It's for things done in the past.
Oh, no, a preemptive pardon is, no, this is where you're wrong, Dan. A preemptive pardon for things done in the future. That's what preemptive means, not the past.
Hey, this is classic Donald Trump. You're wrong, Dan, you're wrong. Okay, I may be wrong, I don't know.
Preemptive,
but this is what I do
know. You know what
preemptive
means?
This is what I do know.
Preemptive means that you haven't been accused of it. I don't know if you're going to be accused of it. You may never be accused
of
it.
You do that research. You do that research.
You're pardoned. That's what
While I'm working to try to get those out there that are watching this banter, they're going, man, those guys really go at it. It's got to be fun. It's like a boxing match. It's like we're like Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. We go at it, or Joe Frazier.
I don't think so at all. I think it's like Muhammad Ali and one of these guys they put out in the third round.
No, I'm smoking. I'd stay like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
And
you're. You are, let's see, who did Muhammad Ali fight that might be? Ron, you won't know this name, Ron Stander. You're like Ron Stander.
I don't like compared to a boxer. I'm not a boxer. Anyway.
We hope you're enjoying banter. Follow, subscribe.
By the way, while we're on the subject, we've had some really good people on. We've had Ian, how do you pronounce Ian's last name?
Teixeira.
Teixeira, right? And I looked at that name. That's like a very famous Portuguese name, right?
Teixeira. Yeah, it's funny. I went on LinkedIn. There's like 15 Ian Teixeiras. I'm trying to find them on LinkedIn.
So we've had Ian on, and I'll tell you, if you haven't listened to that, I've already got a couple of comments from people that have listened to it. They think it's excellent. They learned a lot about quantum computing. Plus, they were introduced to this gentleman who I'll say he's like Bill Gates of 1980. I met Bill Gates in 1980. Now, Bill doesn't remember me, of course, but I met him in 1980. That's what Ian is like in the year 2025.
20 years
after I'm dead and buried, Ian will become a very successful error-trapping person in quantum computing. But so we've had Ian on. We've had Zig Ziglar?
Brian Flanagan. Brian Flanagan.
I bought, by the way, just so you'll know, I brought a half a dozen of Brian Flanagan's books. I've sent them to my sons, and I've said, hey, read these books because it may be old material, but it's a really great refresher. I thought those books, when I read them, I thought, I know that, but I forgot about using it on a daily basis. His books are a great refresher of fundamental communication skills. I really enjoyed it. I have it on Kindle. I sent them to all my sons. I sent the soft cover, not the hard cover book, but I sent the soft cover book to my sons. And at least two of them already said thank you.
And then we had Clarine Mitchell, a LinkedIn expert. She's got a lot of great posts, folks. You should follow Clarine Mitchell and Brian Flanagan.
So we've got some people coming on that are educational. We all argue over LinkedIn. I get an email once every other day from LinkedIn saying, hey, sign up for our $90 a month special premium. And see who people are searching for you and different things. I haven't signed up. But my point is, this lady, Clarine Mitchell, is that her name, Clarine Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay, Clarine Mitchell, is an expert. And if you're listening, go on LinkedIn, look her up, contact her. She can make you more knowledgeable about LinkedIn than you think you are. I'm still critical of LinkedIn, and I will until I understand what LinkedIn really does. And I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of years, by the way, if LinkedIn goes away. If they just become a headhunter,
let's remember that prediction then. In 2 years, we're going to remember that.
But no, first, it's not a prediction. No, I never predicted it. No, sir, don't mischaracterize what I said, Dan. Yeah. I never predicted it. I said I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. Yes, I'll tell you why. Because Microsoft is going to be pushed to make money on all their activities.
Yeah.
The stock sells for $430 a share. They've got some problems. They got to cut things that are losing money. I cannot believe LinkedIn is making money. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe it.
Did you ever see, you're a great speaker and powerful presenter, and you go in the courtroom, and sometimes, have you ever heard this and studied this with your glasses when you really want to make a point? You're supposed to take your glasses off, put one end in your mouth. Maybe it makes you look like you're really contemplating and you're real serious about what you're going to say. And you say, folks, if you're enjoying banter, like, follow, subscribe, and share it with people. Because we're growing. Hey, you've got to enjoy this banter today. But let me leave us with this, because we got to get going on the onward and upward as we want you to do out there. If you want to write us at webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. Write us and say, Bob, Dan is a... this you're terrible, or right, say, Bob, you're terrible. Either way, we love you, you love us both.
Don't say anything like that. Say you like the difference of opinion. You like the way we share it, because the one thing that characterizes America is that people like Dan and I, who have some level of commonality in what we agree on, but have lots of areas we don't agree on, can debate at free speech. We don't have to worry about who's listening. We can say, hey, Dan, this. Hey, Bob, this. That's the spirit of America. You can't do that in other countries, in my opinion.
And that's right.
I've been in many countries, right?
And that's part of the challenge that America's facing, which I think we need leadership across the board that encourages that exact thing, is be able to agree to disagree without being disagreeable. We have division. Everybody talks about Thanksgiving dinners. There's the uncle that comes and is all Democrat, all out Republican, loves this guy or that guy or this gal. But I mean, in the halls of Congress, I mean, you look at that's another subject. Congresswoman Nancy Mace and Jasmine Crockett. Nancy Mace says, "You want to go outside? You want to take this outside? They're in a debate. And they go, you want to go outside?" But anyway, let me leave with this in honor of Martin Luther King, a great quote, which for all of you out there listening, this is important because we're trying to serve you with giving you ideas and thoughts and stimulating. They got a point there. Here's what Martin Luther King said, one of his most famous quotes. Life's most persistent and urgent question is this: what are you doing for others? That was kind of his life. We're going to walk away from banter with that. And folks, please stay close. Follow, like, subscribe, and we'll be back and talking to you soon.
Shutting down. Goodbye, Dan. Lots of fun today.
Okay, let me read this. Let's do the banter, man. Let me read this excerpt from the end of the speech, which I'm sure someone with a little vision for a legacy speech for an inauguration wrote, because the first part of Donald Trump's speech, he went into his normal attack rhetoric and disparaging people, which wasn't necessary. He could be bigger than that. He's the president of the United States. But let me just say probably what was written for him, because it doesn't sound like his words, but they are profound words, so we'll give him credit because he's the president. Here's what he said, and there's just a couple paragraphs. "Ambition is the lifeblood of a great nation, and right now our nation is more ambitious than any other. There's no nation like our nation. Americans are explorers, builders, innovators, entrepreneurs, and pioneers." Then this next sentence is very powerful and is Kennedy-esque or Reagan-esque. Here's what he said. "The spirit of the frontier is written into our hearts. The calls of the next great adventure resounds from within our souls." That's what I'm talking about, Bob. That's what I'm talking about.